my conclusions draw out too long because new concepts the Holy Spirit brings to my mind over these issues. And I was thinking when Liz and Tad were singing that song, I was reminded of Isaiah, one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah, and I think one of the overlooked chapters, which is profound in its theology, is Isaiah chapter 59. And what Liz is singing about there is that day when we will rise and no more sorrow, no more pain, which is the topic of our discussion today, actually. And in Isaiah 59, Isaiah says, you know, we long for the light, we long for the day, but we live in the darkness. And he said, we're like blind people right now that are groping along a wall, trying to find our way through. And, you know, many times it feels that way, doesn't it? A lot of struggles in life, a lot of things that we have to deal with that we don't want to, but we're forced to. And we've been talking about the temple concept and what the temple concept means to us today, here, and now. And one of the conclusions that we're going to bring to this topic is, you see on the back of your devotional there, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Because Paul's talking there. Isn't that a profound verse, by the way? Don't we long for that? Very simple, very succinct. When the perfect comes, the partial will end. So the partial can't end until the perfect comes. And Paul goes on to say in that chapter, one of the hallmarks of what perfection is, see if this resonates with you. He says, in that time when it's perfect, something else will happen. He said, now we know in part. We had a lot of prayer requests today about things that we don't understand and things that we only know in part. And I'm dealing with things in my life right now that I don't understand. I only know partial. Because now I know in part, but then he says, when the perfect comes, here's one of the things it'll be. He said, then we will know fully. And then he makes a great statement. He says, we will know fully, just as we will also be fully known. What is it like to be fully known by somebody? And yet, in that full knowing of you, there is total acceptance and total love of you. Is that not a great place to be? You see, that goes back to, doesn't it, Genesis chapter 3, right? What happened when Adam and Eve, paradisal man, fell? What was the first thing that they did that is overlooked many times? What's the first thing they did with each other? They realized that they were fully known, naked. And that thought, after the fall, that thought terrified them because they were afraid, being fully known, they wouldn't be accepted. So they hid. Remember, they clothed themselves, which is metaphorical for they stopped being transparent to one another. They stopped being fully known. And the relationships then started to suffer. So what Paul's talking about here, when the perfect comes, the partial will end. The partial knowing of each other will end. And we will know each other fully, just as we will be fully known. What a beautiful relationship that would be. And to understand, we want to see end game here today. We want to see what Liz was singing about, end game. Where is this all going? Where are we headed with our faith? And what is it that is waiting for us as God's people? And you know that Jesus of Nazareth is the only embodied human being who functioned in and experienced both realities. He functioned in and experienced perfection. He understood perfection, and he functioned in and understood the partial. Our bodies reflect what kind of environment we live in. Can you not tell when you look at somebody physically? I can. When a person comes into my office, I can tell by looking at their body what kind of environment they're in, what kind of life they've had, what kind of work they do. I can tell when someone who is in a nurturing, loving, caring environment, their bodies reflect that. Their bodies are different. Whereas you can look at somebody and you can just tell by looking at them. Teresa and I do this sometimes. She'll look at somebody and she has compassion for them because she says about them, boy, you know, it looks like they've had a hard life. And it's reflected in their body, isn't it? So in order for us, you know, armed with that knowledge, what I'm getting at is here, is we look at Jesus of Nazareth and we look at his body. If you want to know where we're going as a people and what the end game is, we look at his body. We look at his body after he was resurrected and after he was glorified, because his body at that time reflects the future of God's people. Paul calls him the first fruit. Whatever happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. So we look at his body, and his body after his resurrection was what? Was perfect, was glorious, was something that no one had ever seen before. And we look at his body before the resurrection, and his body before the resurrection also reveals to us what it's like to live in the partial. Do you know what I mean when I say live in the partial? Don't you deal with a lot of partial? Are you going to deal with some partial tomorrow? Let me tell you, in my work, I deal with people who are struggling with partial, who live lives of partiality, I'll call it. And I don't think that's the right word there, but I'm going to use it. A partial existence. And their bodies reflect that, and they struggle with that. And then I look at the body of Jesus of Nazareth after he was resurrected. And it was perfect. And it reveals something to us. Do you know something interesting about Jesus after his resurrection? Since we're just a small group today, we're just going to do like a seminar type of time. Can you recall in the Gospels, Synoptics, or in John, after Jesus was resurrected, can you name me one miracle that he did after he was resurrected? Can you name me one healing that he did after he was resurrected? Did he feed the 5,000 after he was resurrected? Did he change water into wine after he was resurrected? Did he raise the dead after resurrected? Heal the blind or the lame after he was resurrected? You know what is interesting to me? Not one instance. Yet he was with us after his resurrection for how long before he ascended? He was with us for 6 weeks, was it? 5 weeks? He walked among us in this glorified, resurrected body, and yet he did not perform any healing during that time. What do you make of that? Do you find that interesting? I found that so absolutely riveting when I thought about that. Why would he not do healings then? And yet before he was resurrected, when he was living in the world of partial, he does many healings and he resurrects the dead. What do you think about that? I'll tell you what I think about it. I think that, yes, Jesus' healings were because he had compassion. Jesus did change people's lives when he was dealing with them before he was resurrected and glorified. And it was powerfully symbolic of what we are to do with our bodies here and now while we are also dealing with the partial. With the partial. Yet after his resurrection, it was also powerfully symbolic to us, a message to us. Following your resurrection as my people, those issues won't be here anymore. There'll be no partial struggles for us to deal with. And his body in itself became the miracle. You see, his existence became the miracle after his resurrection. The only human being that we can look at, the only embodied human being that we can look at his body, and we can say, here is a man who functioned and experienced both realities. He experienced the partial, and he also experienced the perfect. Well, let's start with the perfect. You want to do that today? Let's go end game. Let's look at what it's going to be when that perfect comes, and then we'll deal with what it's like to live in the partial, because you and I are living in that partial very much right now. I'm dealing with a lot of things now that are partial in my life. Doesn't that take a lot of energy? Don't you get tired of that? When we had dinner over at Barb and Dick's on New Year's Day, delicious dinner. But I prayed before the meal, and I prayed that in this year, 2016, that a particular event would happen. The prayer for me was that Malachi 3:1 would become a reality in 2016. That, as Malachi says, the Lord that you seek will suddenly return to his temple. And I prayed, may that be a reality for us in 2016. And you know why I prayed that? And you know why all of God's people should really pray that prayer? Is because I'm tired of dealing with the partial. I'm tired of dealing with it in my own life. And the energy that is taken from us as God's people, dealing with it in other people's lives. And the Lord that you seek, Malachi says, will suddenly return to his temple. And that's what we are going to talk about today. What is that going to be like for us? And it is also interesting in that verse, the Lord that you seek. It's New Year's Eve. Our family's all over. And we're watching, of course, we're watching the Times Square thing. And what Malachi says in that, and see if you find this to be true of your life or people that you know. Everybody seeks something to fill in the partialness of their lives, right? Because that's where we live right now, and we know it. We're partial. We live in that. We know something's missing. And what Malachi says here is, what you're really looking for is the Lord. You're looking for God. You seek him because you know that you live a partial existence. Anyway, we're watching the Times Square thing. And Google ran a commercial, which was, I don't know if any of you saw it. It was tremendously offensive to me, because Google highlighted 2015, the year, and they went through and they showed a lot of news clips of things that had occurred in 2015 that, according to Google, were examples of our progression psychologically and spiritually and emotionally, our progression and our evolution as a race into enlightenment. The things that showed us how advanced we have become. Google ran this ad. And it was a litany, in my opinion, it was a litany of any kind of deviant behavior that you can imagine. That they highlighted as, isn't this wonderful that this is now happening in 2015? And what Google was highlighting there were people desperately seeking to fill in the partialness of their lives with anything other than the Lord. Now, how should we, one of the things that they highlighted there was, and I have nothing but compassion for this human being when I tell you this next, and you all know this story. They highlighted Bruce Jenner, who, you know, when we were growing up, Bruce Jenner was, of course, the Olympic hero. And he had it all, right? I mean, you couldn't look at any any picture. He was on cereal boxes. He was on posters. He was everywhere. Bruce Jenner had everything that this world had to offer. And yet, it wasn't, you see, he still felt a partial existence. And they highlighted as one of the wonderful things about 2015 is that Bruce Jenner had undergone this transgender procedure, and now he is a woman. She's a woman. And you know, I look at that sort of thing, and again, we as God's people, we'll look at that, and we should have this kind of attitude, I think. That poor creature is desperately trying to fill in the partial existence that he has. And we do it in a lot of unhealthy ways. Because Malachi makes it eminently clear, everybody on the planet understands that they have a partial life, and they're looking for something to fill in that gap. And Malachi says, the only way that's going to be done, and the only way you're going to ever find fulfillment, is if you fill in that partial gap with the Lord. The Lord that you seek will suddenly return to his temple. And that was my prayer on New Year's Day, and it was partially fueled by what I saw on New Year's Eve, and the lengths that our nation has gone to, and people in our nation have gone to, because of weak leadership, to find things to fill in their life other than God, and the chaos that has ensued in our lives and in our families and in the world. I gave a funeral service week before last for my first cousin, Dick Bletz. And, you know, we talk about the Lord returning to his temple and the end game that we're all headed for, the second coming, what we call the second coming, and what that's going to be like. And I quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You know that verse? Which has exerted a tremendous influence over Christian theology. And Paul says in that verse, you want to know what it's going to be like? He said that Paul says he had a special revelation from the Lord. And then he says to all of us, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, but we all can listen to this, about you want to know the second coming and what it's going to be like when the perfect comes, because when the perfect comes, the partial is going to end. I'm looking forward for the end of partiality and for the coming of perfect. And how it's going to happen, Paul says, the Lord himself will descend from the heavenly realm. Talk about the Lord returning to his temple suddenly, Malachi. You want to see Malachi 3:1 fulfilled? The Lord himself will suddenly will come from the heavenly realm, and he comes with three things. He comes with a shout, number one. Number two, the archangel gets involved, and the archangel raises his voice. And number three, and then the trumpet of God sounds. The Lord himself will descend from the heavenly realm with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And then something's going to happen. The Lord that you seek will suddenly return to his temple. We see it happening here in 1 Thessalonians. And then Paul says, when that happens, and the Lord himself descends from the heavenly realm, one, the very first thing that's going to happen, the dead in Christ will rise. Liz, thank you for that song. The dead in Christ will rise. And we who remain will be caught up with them, and we will meet them. Paul says we'll meet them in the air. People misconstrue that as thinking we're going to be going, floating up in the air somewhere. You know, I do not think that at all. We have to understand biblical imagery. What Paul's talking about there is going to be the glorious clouds of the heavenly realm. He says we'll meet him in the clouds. Clouds have always been a representation of the heavenly glory coming to earth, always. And what's going to happen when the Lord descends from the heavenly realm, the dead in Christ, can you imagine experiencing that? I'm hoping that I am one who remains. I want to be one that remains when that occurs, because I want to see, like Job says, he's going to see it with his own eyes. I want to see this event. I want to see the dead in Christ rise. And then he says, we who remain will meet them in this glorious experience Imagine that. Imagine meeting your loved ones who have gone before and celebrating this experience together. Why? Because the partial has ended and the perfect is here. And one of the hallmarks of the perfection of that time is relationships. The very first thing that Paul mentions about the perfect is that we who remain will join those who have gone before, and we will forever, he says, and so shall we, those who have gone before and those who remain, so shall we, so shall that group, those people, ever be with the Lord. And then he says, and I think what I need today, he says, encourage one another with these words. Isn't that encouraging? Because I'm dogged by the partial. And these are words that encourage me. So, the resurrected, glorified body of Jesus gives us a glimpse of the perfect. The glorified, resurrected body of Jesus reflects the kind of environment the perfect will be. Just like I can tell when someone's had a hard life and they've come from a rough environment, Jesus' body shows me the kind of environment he's coming from. Does that make sense? See, we can extrapolate so much out from looking at the resurrected body of Jesus. It tells us so much. And here's John, as I talked about last week. Young John, the seer, I call him, because he experienced, as a young man, 18 years old, the resurrected body of Jesus. He saw it. He even says in his epistle, he said, we touched it. We lived with it. And now John, as an 80-year-old man, is exiled to the island of Patmos, and he's armed with the experience in his past of remembering the resurrected body of Jesus. And he goes to this island, and now, if the curtain was drawn back a little bit in the resurrected body of Jesus, and we see what the heavenly realm's going to be like when it comes to earth. Now, armed with that experience, John draws the curtain back even further, and we see what it's going to be like, what Paul means when he says the perfect versus the partial. And here we look at Revelation 21, 3 and 4. You see it on your sheets there? This is end game. This is the perfect. This is what we're longing for. This is what is going to replace the partial. This is what that environment's going to be like. Paul sees the city of New Jerusalem come down out of the heavenly realm, remember? And then he hears something. Revelation 21:3. Then I, John, heard a loud voice from the throne. And that voice says one thing. Basically, he says, look, God's dwelling is with men, and he will live with them. Remember when we started this whole series on the temple concept, I said, one thing that is overlooked in Scripture is that God wants to live with us. God wants to dwell with us. And that's the end game. And here is John talking about what's going to happen. Here's the end. The end is God's going to live with his people. He's going to dwell with them. And the result will be, look, because he lives with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's the point of the temple concept. And please note very carefully that it is that kind of relationship that constitutes the temple concept, not any kind of relationship. You hear people say all the time, I do, well, I have a particular relationship with God. I have an understanding with God. My relationship with God isn't like your relationship with God. My relationship with God is under my control, and they, no. See, there's no compromise for the temple concept. It is this kind of relationship and this kind of relationship only that constitutes a temple concept. When he is our God and we are his people, that's the temple concept, because that has a purpose in God's economy. Not any relationship, it is only that relationship. Now you understand Jeremiah 31:33. When God says through Jeremiah, the reason that I'm going to write my law in your heart is so that I will be your God as a result, and you will be my people. Why should we want to live with God? Well, this is crystal clear for us, isn't it? We live with him because of Revelation 21:4. When he's our God, when we're his people, when the temple concept has been complete, verse 4 will be a reality. Here's the perfect. Here's the perfect that we're going to experience. And this will be an experience with our bodies. Because he's our God, because we're his people, because he dwells with us, because the temple concept has been done, because the perfect has come, it's going to be like this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer. Why do, of course, grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because grief, crying, and pain come into our lives because of what? Death, our greatest enemy. And God himself is going to get rid of death, therefore wipe away every tear, because there will be no reason for us to have grief, crying, and pain. It will be perfect. Because, why will that be? Because the previous things have passed away. The previous things have passed away. You see, here we see, finally, the full flower of the temple concept. Here we see it come to reality. The bud of which we are trying to bring now in the partial. Here's the full flower of the temple concept. Death, grief, crying, and pain will no longer exist because the previous things have passed away. And all that will be left, when the previous things have passed away, all that will be left is things as they should be. You see, that's all the things that keep us living a life in the partial. What keeps us living a life in the partial? Revelation 20:10. All the things that bring death, grief, crying, and pain, the devil who deceived them. The devil who deceived them, who keeps us living a life in the partial, who prevents the full flower of the temple concept, who wields the power of death over some, who brings grief, crying, and pain. Those are the previous things that the Satan brings into our lives. And John says here, the reason we're going to be perfected and the reason we're going to live in the perfect is because the devil who deceived them into, listen, what I saw New Year's Eve and what was highlighted New Year's Eve is the devil deceiving people into putting other things into their life to make them whole. You see that? And John says, that's going away. Those are the previous things that people grabbed onto to try and fulfill their lives. And the reason that's going to go away and all that will be left is things as they should be is because the one who deceived them into doing that will be gone. And with that, what else goes? Death, grief, crying, and pain. The things that ensue, get this, the things that ensue in people's lives because they fill in the partial with anything else. And this is what happens. And what is left? Things as they should be. And finally, Revelation 21:22, What will the temple be? The temple will be the entire creation. And John says, when he sees the new city and he describes that, and if that's wonderful reading if you ever get into Revelation 22 and you look at John's description of the new heaven and the new earth. And here's something that struck me when I read that, and maybe you too. John's describing the new heaven and new earth. He's describing the whole thing like it's a temple. And I thought, why would he do that? Why would John describe the entire cosmos like it's a temple? And then I realized, because it is. You see, we're back to Eden. We're back to the entire cosmos being where God dwells with humanity. And that's why John says, I didn't see a temple. Strangely enough, I looked, but I didn't see a temple. And here's why, because the entire creation is the temple. The Lord and the Lamb are the temple. God dwelling with his people are the temple. The perfect has come, and therefore the partial has gone away. We will be with the personal, royal, kingly presence of Jesus of Nazareth. And the entire cosmos will be the temple. You see, our prayer is that the perfect comes and the partial will end. Our prayer is that the Lord that we seek will suddenly return to his temple. And our prayer is that 1 Thessalonians 4, when the Lord descends from the heavenly realm, that will occur. Because this is our end game. This is the perfect. This is where we're going. Let's encourage each other with those words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful message and this wonderful promise that you hold out for us as your people. In your strong name, amen.